Welcome to the third of 13 podcasts based on our new book, Business Communication, Rhetorical Situations, from Broadview Press. That's broadview.com. Each of these podcasts will give an overview of the chapter it focuses on, as well as some background to the cases or rhetorical situations, as we call them, that provide a narrative structure to the chapter. I will provide ideas for instructors about how to teach from the chapter and what parts of the chapter I stress when I teach from it. So let's get started with Chapter 3 here. It's called Style in Business and Professional Writing. When we talk about style in business and professional writing, we take a different approach to it than we do in our technical writing textbook, A Strategic Guide to Technical Communication, because there you're talking more about how to take technical information and turn it into non-technical or information that's accessible by people who are not from a technical field. In business communication, it's a little bit different, and we think that the priority should be on plain language. So defining plain language, we define it as an approach to writing that emphasizes the needs of readers to make sense of documents through direct, simple, and unadorned prose and well-organized documents. In this chapter, we introduce you to five topics that will improve your written style in business and professional communication: plain language, positive emphasis, cohesion, emphasis, and conciseness. The reason this is in a separate chapter from the chapters that follow in the book is that these concepts can be applied to many, many, many of the documents that you write. So they go through the entire course. They're not something that you learn and apply only in one situation. So let's start out with a quote which shows you what plain language is not. So here's a text that is not written plainly. Inasmuch as the premium charged or as avowed in the record of automobile insurance to which alteration form is conjoined, the indemnifier shall assure an entitled claimant for the pecuniary reimbursement to which he or she is lawfully permitted to recoup from a deficiently insured vehicle operator as recompense in response to the physical harm or the demise of the entitled claimant occurring from the direct or indirect use or maneuvering of a motorized vehicle. You couldn't tell maybe from me reading it, but that's all one sentence for starters, which is way too long. So let's hear some text which has been rendered into plain form. Once we receive payment for your insurance, we will refund any reasonable charges you incur when renting a similar vehicle. Now that's not the same text, but you can just tell. First of all, it's way shorter. And many of the things that we talk about in plain language you might regard as fairly straightforward. First of all, don't write 50, 60 word sentences. Write 15 to 20 word sentences. So break up what you're trying to say into its component chunks. That's one of the key components. Another key component is to use simple words to write so that readers can understand your message in one reading. They don't have to reread it a couple of times to figure out what the point is. And also to be simple and direct. But the trick here is the tone. You can't be simplistic or patronizing. And so there is some art to this. So as we carry on through the chapter, we talk about what are some of the techniques that you can use to achieve a plain style. So use the active voice, use present tense, use the word you to address your readers, so you know they know you're talking to them. Use simple, short words. So much of what I've just said really has to do with what's called the sentence level, the between the periods kind of level of writing. The next level of writing in which you can try to create a plain style is at the paragraph level. And so here we talk about things like using topic sentences. So at the start of a paragraph or a chunk of text, let your readers know what you're going to talk about. Often these sentences are fairly short. Another technique is to use transitions. So both between paragraphs, but also between sentences within the same paragraph. Another one is to use page layout as an effective communication tool. So you want to use white space around, break your paragraphs up. You want to use white space between those paragraphs and use headings as well. So the rhetorical situation, the case that we give students in the first part of the chapter revolves around revising some insurance documents. I just want to share you a little bit from an insurance document I just got, in which, in fact, it was a, I live in British Columbia, Canada, and here the government runs the car insurance, and they've just, because of the COVID lack of driving, everyone's getting a refund because we didn't drive because we had nowhere to go. So in their letter to announcing this, which of course is a good news message, and it actually says good news right at the start, they say what you need to do. So in this section, there's three headings on this page, and in the third section, it says what you need to do to get your money. You will receive your refund via the same payment method you use to pay for your policy. And then there's three bullet points. If you have an active payment plan, the savings will reduce your monthly payment amount. If you pay by credit card, your enhanced care refund will be refunded to the credit card you use to pay for your policy. And the third bullet, if you paid by cash, check, or debit, we have combined your enhanced care refund onto one refund check included with this letter. So in this case, it's very, very clear. Somebody in the government has really got the plain language thing down, and they're using it extremely well here to communicate to people about how they're going to get their money back. So that's an example. I just want to counterbalance that to the one in the text of where this is, where this works really, really well. So we've been talking about plain language as a key component of professional style. Another key demand on business communication is the ability to use positive emphasis. Many times you have a choice about how to phrase something, how to frame it. And what we're trying to show students here in this part of the chapter is how to say, when you have a choice, how to say things in a positive way and how to minimize the negative. That doesn't mean you lie about it. It just means you don't highlight it as much. In this part of the chapter, we give examples of negatively stated things, things which can be revised to make them less negative, and even a third better option for how to frame something. We also give an example, or rather a table of words to avoid that are all of negative connotations to them. The case in this part of the chapter has to do with an eyeglass salesperson having to report negative results and how to put a positive spin on that. Again, I don't know what people think about this, but this is a real case, a real situation somebody we knew had to work through. And so this is the kind of advice that we would give that person. So the chapter talks about plain language. It talks about positive emphasis. And a third key component, we think, of a good business writing style is cohesion, emphasis, and conciseness. So these get a little bit technical from a linguistics point of view. We try our best to try to make sure that that technicality is rendered in a plain way so the students can follow what those concepts are. But it's extremely important that when you write in a business environment, that what you write makes sense. It has to make sense quickly for on first reading. And so that's what the cohesion part is all about. The emphasis part is about making sure that the point you're trying to make is emphasized and people get it. And the conciseness part is, you know, maybe the most important part of a business communication style. If you're in a business community, if you're reading through a long list of emails, the last thing you want to see is a very, very long thing where somebody's taking forever to get to the point. You don't want to see that. You want something that's concise and to the point. And so we give advice about that. Now, the case that we use to demonstrate this is a internship student who's working for promoting at a basically it's a beer festival, and they're working for a publicity company trying to talk to people about how the event that they put on went. Now again, this is drawn from somebody we know who had this exact job and had to write the documents documenting how the event went, the results that they got, and so on. So in one of the reports that are in the book, we show how to repeat the same topic several times in a paragraph in order to build cohesion or a sense of that paragraph is all about this particular topic that you're highlighting. So that's one of the key strategies there. The second one is to repeat the subject matter from the end of one sentence at the start of the next sentence. And that way, people can carry on from one sentence and carry that knowledge with them to the start of the next sentence and not get confused about what you're saying. So that's another one of those techniques that's covered in the book. The last thing I'll mention here is this concept of emphasis. So not all positions in a sentence carry the same emphasis with them. It matters what's at the start of the sentence, and it matters what's at the end. So students don't often realize that, and they just sort of write a sentence however it occurs to them without sort of paying attention to what is the important information in the sentence, move that to the start, or put it right at the end. Because at both points, when a reader is coming up to that period, they're starting to pay attention again and not getting lost in the middle. So those are some of the ways in which students can alter their prose to make it more effective. The last topic that's covered in the chapter is conciseness, which is, of course, a short part of the chapter. But here we talk about some very specific techniques, some very specific words that you can eliminate from your text, from your writing, in order to make it shorter. One of the things that drives me crazy is when listening to hockey games on TV, announcers will often be saying, you know, each and every, he works each and every day at getting that better or something. And it's like, that's a legalistic phrase, each and every. It means the same thing. But what's interesting to me about it is how the announcers clearly think that that's a sophisticated thing to do. And in some ways, many students are also trying to figure out what they're trying to do, something that they think is sophisticated rather than just doing the simpler thing. And to some extent, our job is to make it clear to them they shouldn't be doing that. Give them permission not to do that, really. And so that's kind of what we're trying to do here with this part of the chapter. Well, thanks for listening. My name is Roger Graves. I'm one of the co-authors of Business Communication, Rhetorical Situations, which is available from Broadview Press at broadview.com. For more information about this book and our other books, go to our website, wecanwrite.ca.